from KQED.
Roughly 1 in 4 state parks are set to close this June thanks to budget cuts. You can't put a padlock on a park that keeps people out, but the Department of Parks and Recreation drew up a list of 70 it can't afford to staff anymore. A number of nonprofits and other groups have stepped up to pull 9 parks off the list, and a couple dozen other groups are in negotiations. This isn't the first time it's been suggested state parks close, but this is the first time it looks like it's actually going to happen. Today we begin a special series called California State Parks on the Rocks. To get the big picture, we start with the head of the Parks Department, Ruth Coleman.
Our budget has been reduced many times over the past 30 years. If you go back to like the late 70s, over 90% of our budget used to come from general fund taxes. And coming this 1st of July, it'll be down to 29%. We have what I call our infamous $1.2 billion backlog in deferred maintenance. And that really has built up over this 30-year period. And it comes from the fact that the department has been underfunded for ongoing maintenance. We have recognized that we can no longer operate all of the parks in our 278-park system.
It sounds like you're saying that the State Parks Department is going to permanently divest itself of some of the parks.
No, I don't want to communicate we're divesting. We have left money in our budget to continue our stewardship role. So all the parks in our system, we will continue to oversee. We will own them. We will ensure that we are looking at the natural resources and the cultural resources. But that day-to-day visitor services are the tasks that we can no longer afford to do in all of our parks. But we do not intend to divest ourselves. And we are also hopeful that this economic climate will someday turn around and the governor and the legislature will develop a much more sort of systemic solution that we will not have to be in this situation permanently.
In the meantime, you're looking at these numbers that have been handed down from the governor and saying, okay, we need to close parks. How did you go about formulating a game plan to cut the agency's budget?
We developed a closure methodology that had 3 primary goals. We wanted to protect the most significant and natural cultural resources. We wanted to maintain as much public access and revenue generation to the greatest extent possible. And then we wanted to protect our closed parks so they remain attractive and usable to potential partners. We tried to steer away from parks that generate a lot of revenue. But we also wanted to ensure that we were telling the broad array of stories of California. So some parks that might have fairly high costs are not on the closure list because they have a very unique story. I don't want to suggest that any of the parks on the closure list are lesser importance, but we had to make some decisions. And so we are now actively looking for partners for those parks that are on that list of 70.
What actually happens step by step when a park closes?
That's a little bit tricky for any of us in state parks to answer because we've never done this before. Our expectation in most cases is that we will have closed the bathrooms and locked them, closed any buildings and locked them, removed trash cans, so all services will be removed. We will have staff that drive by periodically, but there won't be any services. So if you go into that park, you're in essence doing it at your own risk. You can get vandalism very quickly if people who are in essence have bad intentions perceive that if they go in, they will be truly alone and could get away with whatever they want to do. So what we've been advised by other directors who've had to close parks is to actually keep your gates open and communicate that people can still come in and walk around, but don't expect any services.
You raised one security issue, vandalism. I can think of a list of others. Drunken teenagers making stupid decisions, perhaps involving matches. Pot grows. I mean, they actually happen in state parks. What's being done to ensure the security of the state, let alone individuals?
Well, as I said, we'll still have park rangers who drive by periodically. But remember, we are reducing our staffing by several hundred positions. So I think it would be misleading to suggest that the parks will be in the same condition that they are today.
We've covered a lot of ground here today. Is there anything you want to make sure we make a point of expressing in a series that looks at this whole issue of park closures?
These state parks are our cathedrals. This is what defines us as Californians to the rest of the world. But they are not cheap to run. And so I think Californians need to decide whether it's worth it to them to save these parks. I don't think that it's reasonable to expect a state park to be fully self-supporting. A lot of places aren't fully self-supporting from gate receipts, and state parks are never fully self-supporting from gate receipts because they are a public good. It's something that we're bequeathing to future generations. They are what defines us. They tell our history. And while we're trying to deal with this crisis as best we can, I think it begs a much deeper question of what we value as Californians.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
You can read more of our interview with State Parks Chief Ruth Coleman. Look for the link at californiareport.org. Tomorrow, we go to Mendocino, where the loss of several redwood parks will hit the county hard.
Some people have a plaza. Some people have a central square. We have a wood.
That's tomorrow, when On the Rocks continues.